Girls in Boys' Cars, written by Felicity Castagna and read by Louise Jarvis. Sometimes the past is a long arm that reaches out and slaps you in the face, and then you're awake to everything and nothing at all. It's like looking in the rearview mirror. You only get a partial picture of the places you've already left, and sometimes you're not exactly sure of what you saw. In my case, that rearview mirror was always full up with Ashika, smacking cherry-flavoured gloss across her lips until I pushed her out of the way, or we backed into a welcome sign in a drowned town that suddenly caught on fire, or we sped away from the police in a car that just wouldn't go fast enough, or came close to running down some boys, who deserved it, with a vintage neon pink Cadillac. You get the picture. And just for the record, I was never really trying to kill anyone, whatever they said at my sentencing hearing. I was just trying to run down that giant M on a pole in the parking lot at my local McDonald's because it was too much of a loaded symbol in my life. You know, like the green light at the end of the pier in the Great Gatsby or something. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that Ashika and me, we were always in each other's way somehow. She made it hard to see all those things behind me and all those things in front. We were like that, taking turns leaving each other at the side of the road as we drove that car away from our lives and back again. Now that she's missing, it's easier and harder to get a grip on things. I've got to concentrate on learning to grow my own skin and sit in it. They tell me I'll soon be transferred out to where the other girls are in the centre, but for now I'm in isolation, where everyone starts out, and I'm trying to distract myself from that light in my cell that keeps buzzing and blinking on the ceiling. I close my eyes and imagine those bright orange cans of Fanta Ashika used to buy from the tobacconist for a dollar. The sweetness of them. The way they turned your tongue a funny burnt colour and made everything you ate afterwards taste like neon lights. And I'm thinking that maybe me and Ashika, we were never really running away from anything at all. Maybe we just had to keep going forward because it was the only way we could get back to ourselves. Marie. That's the counsellor in this place. She says that if I like books so much, I should write one. It'd give me a chance to reflect, she says, on how someone like me ended up in some place like this. Marie, she's nice and all, kind of like one of those teachers who must have been really great at one time, but now can't see their way past the tiredness of doing it too long. She brings me books from the centre library, so I can't fault her all that much. But I don't think she knows who someone like me really is. It's the same thing the magistrate said when he sentenced me to 6 months in a juvenile correction centre. The same thing my mother said too. But I am acting like me. That's a thing. I've got lots of different me's bubbling away on the inside, trying to get to the surface. We're all made up of lots of stories. I read that somewhere in a book. You know, like peeling back the layers of an onion. That's not from a book, that's from the movie Shrek. It's the same concept, though. I learned that every day I was on the road with Ashika, and all we did was pull stories out of each other, sometimes by force, sometimes because they just escaped from our mouths when we didn't want them to.